Thank you, friends, for coming out this morning. It's a joy to be in the presence of God's people, as well as in the presence of the Lord who has promised to be with us. And I want to thank God for my dear friends, Paul and Linda Sanchez. Can you stand a little, that the folks may see you? And appreciate you. Sister Linda is a bold intercessor for the Lord and has led a prayer, National Day of Prayer, for 22 years and has been used of God to break down denominational walls among Christians. And when the Spirit gets hold of her, she is a fireball for God. Brother Paul, on the other hand, is very soft-spoken, and he gets the job done.
Amen.
He doesn't make much noise, but he gets the job done. And we appreciate their services, and he didn't take us a little break from the driving from New Orleans to here, and he told me he was all right. So I appreciate him bringing us here, and it's like old times. I remember meeting Brother Ike way back in 84 and Sister Carol, and they invited me to speak here, and we had a wonderful time of fellowship. Of course, in this place, they don't go by time. So, it is good to have time, but sometimes, you know, the time is so short, you have to make it count. And so, they allowed me full freedom to share with them, and I was telling our friends how many times I traveled on I-10 to come here. And they were always so gracious to keep me in their home. Sister Carol was such a fine servant of God. She always made sure I had the best food to eat. She never failed to take care of me, as well as Brother Ike. They will take me to the restaurants, but I prefer the home-cooked meal any day. And Sister Carol was blessed. And I know it's a great grief in our heart for her to leave us, but she's in a better place, in better company. But I'm sure she was wondering, like we all do, what happens when a Christian dies. So for a little while, I want to give this message to comfort Brother Ike, as well as the entire group of saints here, because none of us likes to speak of death or even to mention the word. But it's there in the Word of God. And death has always been an enemy since man sinned. But hallelujah, we know who is the conqueror of death. Hallelujah. And because he lives, we too shall live. So allow me to read from Isaiah chapter. And if you want to turn in your Bibles, fine. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. Isaiah 57. 1 and 2. Isaiah 57, verse 1. The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. Maybe you never saw that passage of scripture, but I'm bringing it to your attention. Then go back to Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 19. Several years ago, Brother Ike was mentioning this passage that an old preacher preached from. And he mentioned the words, the dust shall sing. And that phrase has always appealed to me. And here is an encouraging word in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 19. Thy dead shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead, And may the Lord bless his words to our hearts this morning. Why must Sister Carol leave us? Why should our granddaughter, Faith Rose, leave us at age 10? We don't always know the whys and the wherefores, but we do believe in the sovereignty of God, in the providence of God. God did not guarantee all of us to live 70 or 80 or 100 years, but he has put us here for a reason. And whether our life is short or long, we should remember what Solomon wrote. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. How sad that most of us didn't find the Lord until later in life. But the first thing we said when we accepted the Lord and had a revelation of Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord was, I wished I had done it sooner. But today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. So it's not too late at any age to come to the Lord. But Sister Carol was in the category of the righteous. I remembered speaking with her many times about the scriptures, and she loved the story of Joseph and wanted me to preach a lot on Joseph if I could. I never was able to do much of that, but she loved the story of Joseph and other parts of scripture, and she too was interested in the end times, and it was good to see she had a love for the Lord and a desire to know her Lord in an increasing measure. And she was always full of the joy of the Lord and took delight in serving other people. I need not speak to you about her. You know her better than I did. But I thank God for her sister Margaret and others who pitched in to minister to her before she left us. And we too were privileged in Arlington to minister to little Grace. And that child was singing up to the very last. Had no complaints in her suffering. And put us all to shame with the degree of faith that she had. And to hear her pray was just unbelieving to the ears. But it was the Spirit of God that anointed her to pray. And to have that love for people that affected many lives that only eternity will tell us all about. And yet, if we didn't have hope in the Lord, if death was the end, we would all sorrow. But Paul says, I would not have you to be sorrowful as do others. Not that we wouldn't feel the grief, but God gives a peace in the midst of the loss and the grief. And I want to show you for a brief while some words that the Bible gives about the word death. First, it is called a sleep. S-L-E-E-P. Number two, it is called a departure. Number three, it is called a decease. But the word decease is not what we take it to mean. The word decease is really exodus. So let's look at those three words. Death is a sleep. Death is a departure. Death is an exodus. Many times we are at a loss for words when grief strikes, when sorrow strikes. Even for the Christian, it is a hard subject to deal with. But when you look at these words, you begin to find God's peace and you find a living hope in a living God. For remember, the Bible says he's not the God of the dead, but of the what? For all live unto him. You see, there were those in the time of the Lord and afterwards and before Jesus came here to earth who thought death was the end. But death was something fearful before Christ came. Even King Hezekiah heard that he would die and not live. And he cried out to God to spare him. And did you know, my friends, had King Hezekiah died as the prophecy came to him, the Davidic line would have ended, and God's covenant with David would have come to an end, because there was no seed to continue the Davidic line. And God spared that man. He was not a father as yet, but God gave him 15 years, and the Davidic line continued through Manasseh and then through subsequent kings. And Hezekiah was raised from the deathbed on the third day. How about that? On the third day. And he went into the temple to give God praise. You see, that's the day Jesus rose from the dead. And Hezekiah used up his years to study the scriptures, to compile the book of Proverbs and various Psalms. And in his compilation of scripture, he had a title for some Psalms called A Song of Degrees. And some were written by David and some by Solomon. There are 15 songs of degrees. Check them out. But 10 are without a title. And those 10 were written by Hezekiah himself. Think about it. But he didn't put his name. He was such a modest king. And the 10 by him was to celebrate the sun going backward 10 degrees. And the 15 songs of degrees linked with the 15 years God gave King Hezekiah. How about that? Think on that one for a while. Nothing in the Bible is just filling space. So, as Moses prayed, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So let's look at the word sleep for a moment. When Lazarus died, the Lord told his disciples, our friend Lazarus is sleeping. But I go to wake him up. And they said, Lord, if he's sleeping, he must be recuperating because Lazarus was sick. They did not get what he was saying. What he was saying was, Lazarus is dead, but I'm going to wake him up or raise him up from the dead. Well, you know the story in John chapter 11. By the way, what month are we living in? The 11th month. And the story of Lazarus is in John chapter 11. And this is an important month, by the way, in the plan of God. World War I ended on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, 1918. That was no ordinary day in history. Maybe I'll tell you a little about it later, but not now. So, Hezekiah was a man that God raised up from the dead. And Lazarus was a man who literally died and was to be raised from the dead. And you can read his life story. What a day it was when the dead man heard the voice of the Son of God and came alive and was liberated. When the Lord said, loose him, let him go, because he was bound head in the head with a napkin around his face, his hands were bound, his feet were bound. It's one thing to have life, it's another thing to have liberty. But he whom the Son has set free is partially free. He's free indeed. Hallelujah. Well, you see, a literal resurrection in Lazarus, in Jairus' daughter. When Jesus went into the home of that little girl, he used the Aramaic expression, Talitha Kumi. That's not Greek. That's the Aramaic. Daughter, I say unto thee, arise. And the child heard the voice and woke up. The Lord told the mourners, don't weep. The damsel is asleep. And they looked at him in a surprising way, as if he didn't know what he was talking about. But how good that the Lord raised her up. And she had just died. And she died in the house. But the Lord raised a young man who was on the way to the cemetery. And he just used the words, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead woke up and he began to speak. We don't notice those little things. When a little child was raised from the dead, give her something to eat. But when the young man arose from the dead, he was to speak and he was to be given over to his mother. Now, I wouldn't go into all of those things, but every miracle has a meaning to it. On the other hand, when Lazarus was raised from the dead, that was not the end of the story. He was reunited with his sisters, Martha and Mary. And the last time you see Lazarus, he is sitting at table with Jesus Christ. Think about it. And many people came not only to see Jesus, but to see Lazarus, who was raised from the dead. And as I've told some of you, there is not one word that Lazarus spoke. Not one word. Please check that out. You see, we read the Bible so casually. We got to read the Bible prayerfully and several times. Far better you take a small portion and pray over it and meditate over it, that you can extract the nutrition from the Word of God. Not one word did Lazarus speak. And why? He didn't have to say a word. The mere fact that he was dead and was alive was the greatest witness. Many of us talk too much. And we need to be like Brother Paul, silent. They say silence is golden. And Lazarus didn't have to say anything. He knew Jesus Christ as the resurrection and the life. Amen? Well, you say, how is it that Christians are dying and are not being raised from the dead today? Because there's a time for this. And all who die in the Lord, Paul says, those who have fallen asleep in Christ will God bring with him. So they close their eyes to this realm and they awake into the paradise realm. Isn't that good to know? As Paul says, to be absent from the body is to what? Be present with the Lord. And he has opened up a new realm for us in the new covenant. In the old covenant, all who died went down into Hades. And there was a gulf that separated the righteous from the wicked. But when Jesus rose from the dead, he brought those who were in that realm that knew him out of that realm, that now the Christian that dies doesn't go down, he goes up.
Amen.
And another thing is, before Sister Carol passed on, just like little Ike, when he was with us, I remember his father telling me, he saw somebody in the room. That was the angel of the Lord that was there. The angels are there when you're ready to leave. I'm persuaded of that. And if you want proof of that, it's in the story of the rich man and Lazarus. When Lazarus died, the angels came and carried him into Abraham's bosom. He couldn't go there by himself. You see, when you die, you need the angels to escort you. That's why the folks in slavery used to sing, swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. They had a glimpse that death was not the end. It's the end of one life, but it's the beginning of another life. And the soul that is washed in the blood of the Lamb and infused with the divine life of Christ can never die. They fall asleep to this realm, but they wake up in the other. Think about that. That's encouragement. We may say the late Sister Carol. No. Even as D.L. Moody used to say, never say the late D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody will be alive and well. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Then God in His wisdom may take some away from what is coming. He knows what is ahead. And He knows the time to take us. But before Sister Carol left, she was witnessing to a lot of people, maybe more so than while she lived here, especially among her loved ones that she was concerned about, especially her last sister. And I was glad the last sister showed up. And don't you know that her prayers were not in vain? Your prayers for her were not in vain, because God does not always answer the way we would like to see prayer answered. Let me just show you that. Are you ready for it? Mm-hmm. King Herod came against the church, and the first thing he did to win the confidence of the Jews was to slay James, the brother of John. The first apostle to die as a martyr, and then he proceeded to slay Peter. But before he did that, it was the days of unleavened bread, and Peter was arrested and chained to two soldiers in the prison, and there were soldiers outside of the prison. And Herod wanted to make sure Peter would not escape. But you know the story? Acts chapter 12, a wonderful story. How God sent His angel to deliver Peter. But the angel didn't come to deliver James. How about that? So you see, we don't always have answers for the whys and the wherefores, but God sees when our course here on earth is over. And the same thing can be said about the church at Smyrna. The Lord didn't say, I'm going to deliver you out of your prison. Fear none of those things that thou shalt suffer. You see, that's a word we don't like. That same word we escape from. Suffering is something we don't delight in. I'm not saying you go out of your way to bring suffering on yourself. But when I say suffering, I mean suffering for the Lord. Suffering because you have to go through things that God doesn't deliver you from. And sometimes we say like Job, how long? How long, O Lord? But our patience is tested. So the other churches were being blessed, but the church at Smyrna was a suffering church. And the Lord didn't say, I'm going to deliver you. He says, the devil will cast some of you into prison that you may be tried. But fear not. Be faithful unto death. Notice that. Be faithful unto death. Sister Carol was faithful unto death. That's what God is looking for, a faithful people. And one day we'll have the answers. And we will know the whys and the wherefores. Now we only know in part. And we prophesy in part. So, the next word I want us to look into is the word departure. This is an interesting word that means to take to pieces. To take the harness from a horse. To take armor from a soldier. To remove anchor from a ship and to set sail. All that is the meaning of this word departure. It is in 2 Timothy 4:6, the time of my departure is at hand. Now you will have to take time to study those meanings. We don't have that time this morning. But you're setting sail for another realm. You lay down your armor, as it were, and you're going to enter the realm of rest and peace. because in that realm there is perfect peace and there is no strife. Look at the scene in heaven. There is the throne. And what is before the throne? A sea of glass mingled, as it were, with fire. How can a sea of glass be seen before the throne? Notice it's not a sea with waves billowing and waters rising up high. It's a calm sea. There are no storms in the heavenly realm. A sea of glass is a realm of transparency. How about that? Who you are here is what you'll be up there. You see, that's why God is doing a cleansing and a purging work in us. So when we get there, we don't have to put on a mask. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. And that's just a thought. I can't explain everything to you, but it's a realm of peace. There are no storms, no quarrels, nothing of this realm that is polluted can exist in that realm. Think about it. I guess the first 5 minutes we get there, we will all be beside ourselves. Is this real or am I dreaming? Is it too good to be true? Well, I know Sister Carol will have answers to her questions. And she will adapt like others who have gone there. The time of my departure is at hand. That means when you leave here, you're going somewhere. Amen? And the next word is exodus. It's translated decease in the scripture that tells us that Moses and Elijah spoke with Jesus about his decease, which he would accomplish at Jerusalem. The word means his exodus. Now that's a word that is in the second book of the Bible. What is it called? Exodus means a departure. But it means more than that. Exodus is an exit leading to an entrance. Hallelujah. And Jesus' death was not the end. It was that he would bring victory for his people by conquering death, and then he would rise from the dead and ascend into heaven to be enthroned at the Father's right hand. So the exodus of Jesus included not only his death, but his resurrection and ascension. Hallelujah. Well, the Christian that dies, he falls asleep in the Lord. He lays down his armor. He enters into the realm of peace, as Isaiah tells us. They will rest in their beds. There's a prepared place for them until the resurrection, when those who are in the first resurrection will not only be raised from the dead, but be taken up into the heavens to share the throne with Jesus. You see, Jesus is not on his own throne today. Whose throne is he sharing now? The Father's. But to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. So the big question is, when will Jesus get his throne? The answer is when he gets his kingdom cabinet people ready.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We are the kingdom cabinet people who are in training for the kingdom. And I know Sister Carol will have a place in that kingdom. All of us may not have the same position. There'll be ranks and positions in the kingdom, but don't worry about that. Seek to please God. And when we get into that realm, whatever our position, no one will be jealous of another one. There'll be such unity and purity. And we will give others precedence over ourselves. Isn't it interesting, this angel that came and spoke with John? John was so amazed to see this angel. It astounded him to the degree that he fell at the angel's feet because the angel resembled Jesus Christ. And for a moment he thought that was Jesus. Because you see, when we come into glory, we will be like him. We'll resemble him. Hallelujah. And the angel had to tell him, don't do it. I'm your fellow servant. Notice that, but he doesn't disclose his name. You ever wondered why he didn't give his name? You know, today in our society, what goes on? What goes on in the news? You know what goes on? I need not tell you. Today we are crazy over who's who. But God is taking the non-entities of this world and he's writing his name upon them. And he knows those who are his. And the people the world despises, God approves of. So, the angel does not disclose his name, and we need not speculate about that. Because even those in glory have only one ambition, to exalt one name, the name of Jesus. It's like John the Baptist said, I must decrease, he must increase. And the angel told John not to do it. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. Again, that's a controversial scripture. I can only tell you that angel was promoted, or he was a messenger of God when he left earth to go into the heavenly realm. And he functioned as an angel. But he doesn't tell us who he is. He was a prophet when he lived here on earth. And he received a high promotion from the Lord. But he doesn't want us to look to him. He wants us to look to the Lord. So I said that to encourage you that we're not just after a position or some kind of applause. The greatest applause is when he tells you and me, what? Well done, good and faithful servant. Let's not serve him for what we can get, beloved. Let's serve him out of love. Amen? Sister Carol served out of love. I saw it over and over again. Likewise, Brother Ike. I never pass through here. He says, don't pass through here without stopping. We have fond memories of those wonderful days. Well, because of time, we have to bring this to a close. But Peter uses this word in 2 Peter 1, verse 15. Anybody would like to read that if you have your Bibles opened? 2 Peter 1 and 15.
Uh-huh.
What is he saying? I will endeavor after my what? Decease, that you will have these things in remembrance. The word is Exodus. Peter loved that word. He was simply saying, I'm leaving here, but I'm going somewhere. And I'm going to make sure, before I leave here, that you have the words that the Lord gave me for your edification. So he used the same word that was used about the conversation Moses and Elijah had with Jesus. Think about it. So death does not end everything. And death for the Christian would mean a leaving this realm to go to the paradise realm until the day of resurrection, when the earth will cast out the dead. And it is possible those who share in that resurrection are going to wake up singing. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to ask a question here. I didn't get to ask Brother Ike or Sister Emily. And that is, did Sister Carol ever record her voice? Did you ever make a tape of her? I kept telling her, you need to have a recording, at least of a few songs. Does anybody know if she ever did that? You don't happen to have her on cassette? I was in the congregation many times and we were singing. All of a sudden I heard that high soprano voice singing. And I knew it was Sister Carol. But she was such a modest person, I kept asking her, please record your voice. But sometimes, you know, we don't always do certain things. But I know you would appreciate hearing her sing. But she doesn't need to be told that. She's doing that up there. And the earth shall cast out the dead. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. Yes. Hallelujah. So she's going to awake in the time of the resurrection, but she's alive and well. No more heart problem. No more. There are no hospitals there. Come on. Amen. No insurance companies there. No IRS to investigate you.
Amen.
It's a realm of praise and worship, and it's a realm of growth. Amen. As you grow in knowledge and in wisdom and in understanding. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, that's as much as we can give you. I wanted to give you these words. Sleep, departure, exodus. And let's conclude with a beatitude. That is a blessed saying. In Revelation chapter 14, it's a beatitude concerning those who have gone on to be with the Lord. And may this bless Brother Ike and all of you saints here. As you remember our dear sister. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 14, and we're going to read a verse that is a benediction on those who have left this realm. If you've never seen this verse, I'll ask you to make a note of it. By the way, there are seven beatitudes in the book of Revelation. Seven. First, blessed is he that readeth and heareth the words of this prophecy and keeps the things that are written. Now, among the seven comes verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. It is true, we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out. Is that right? But there are some things we can take out. Christ in you is the hope of glory, and the Lord working in you to produce good works. That is what you will take with you, the person you are. Changed by God's grace. And remember, faith without works is what? Dead. Their works do follow them. You think the Lord will say, Sister Carol, you treated that stranger from South America in your home, and you did it with such grace and love. Do you think that will go unrewarded? Didn't the Lord say, if you give a cup of cold water to one of my little ones, one of my disciples, that you will in no wise lose your reward? Well, she gave me more than a cup of cold water. She gave me hot coffee, and she gave me vegetables and fish and chicken and all the rest. You may say, well, those are just natural things. If you're faithful in the literal, he will make you ruler over much. We may not all be great singers, preachers, musicians, and whatnot, but if you love the Lord, and you love one another, and seek to serve out of love, not what we can get, but out of love, the love of Christ must be our motive, then God honors that, and God will reward that. Amen? God bless you, and I hope these few words will be of some help to you. They have blessed me. I have shared along this line to other Christians because we know so little about that realm. But Sister Carol wanted to know about it. Brother, I just told me that. She was asking about that realm. And whatever little light we can shed, we're not to keep it to ourselves. Amen? So may you be edified. Amen?
Amen.
Do me a favor. And let's sing
He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Yes, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose, hallelujah. And because he lives,
yes,
I can face tomorrow.
That's it.
Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory,
yes,
through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you, Brother Ike. Back to you. Thank you. Praise God. Amen.